Kind of like that today. That little reinforcement there. These the Pips or Dawn or who is the supporting crew here, Andy? That was nice. I like that. I'm showing my age. The only thing I can come up with is 40 years old. The Pips, Dawn. Oh, well. Please turn in your Bibles this morning to the book of Acts, chapter 20. I guess that's the first place we're going to. No, it's not. Let's take that back. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 2:14. 1 Corinthians 2:14. Good morning, everybody. A couple of announcements this morning. We have some of the Angelic Conflict books back. You know, we have like a lending library back there with Deacon Mark. So if you haven't got one yet and you'd like to borrow one, see Deacon Mark in the back after service today. We've got a couple back here and a lot of good things about that book, which I'm not surprised. It's an amazing book on the Angelic Conflict by Pastor Robert McLaughlin. And we have a bunch of copies circulating. Please keep our future plans for our church building in prayer. That seems to be progressing. And as soon as we have something definite and I'm confident about, we will give you a lot more information on that. Although I know the rumor mill and the people already have some idea, perhaps, but I want to make a formal announcement of it because that's what I do. Also, please keep radio. We have radio broadcasts going on both locally and in Arizona. And please keep that effectiveness of that ministry in prayer, that it reach the people that are longing to hear the truth and that they have an opportunity to hear it and that it changes the lives of people that are ready to hear what the Bible has to say. So there's actually four different radio broadcasts, one locally here on 8:50 a.m., Sundays 7 to 8 in the morning, but then three in the Arizona area, one in Phoenix and two in Tucson. So please keep all of that in prayer. Also, I wanted to let you know that tomorrow night is a youth group. We have it on Mondays at 6 o'clock here at the church. This Monday, Dane Verhoeven Jr., I guess he's in the prep school. He's in prep school today and he's teaching tomorrow. So please keep him in prayer. I'm very excited about him, his developing that gift of his to teach the young people and to lead that youth group as well. So that will be happening tomorrow night at 6. And also, by the way, of the calendar, next Tuesday, not the day after tomorrow, but next Tuesday will be our next basics class. It's Tuesday, August 2nd. I don't know what to call that. But it's Tuesday, August 2nd is the next basics class. October. I mean, what did I say? August. I said August? I said August? You got to watch me. Please do that. If I call light darkness or October, August, please raise your hand. I want to know. Yeah, October 2nd. Is the next basics class. All righty. The title of this morning's message is The Original Counterfeiter. Been a lot of counterfeiters in history and people that are trying to make a lot of money counterfeiting money and so forth and jewels and all of that. But the practice goes way back. Way, 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 way back. And we're going to see who that is this morning. Probably have a good idea already. But we're also going to see some of the things he's counterfeiting today. Some of the things that he's counterfeiting in the church age, and in fact in the church, to try to drag us away from the truth that sets us free, drag us away from the plan that God has for our life. So that's it, our subject within the subject. We're looking at discernment. And one of the two big things we always have to keep in mind is that we tend to be blind in our human nature. In and of ourselves, we have problems seeing clearly, spiritually I'm talking about, what's from God and what isn't. And as if that's not bad enough, we also live in a world where we have enemies that are further trying to mess things up by confusing the issues. They're actively trying to disguise themselves, trying to make what's good look bad, what's bad look good. So, A, we have problems seeing spiritually without help. And B, we've got powerful enemies, namely the world system, the sin nature that resides in our body, the enemy within, and of course the kingdom of darkness. And they're real. Bible says we don't battle against flesh and blood, but against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. They're real. Okay? It's reality time. In other words, we have to understand that God the Holy Spirit, if you're a believer in Christ, lives in you. That's real. And you got to bank on that, because what also is real is that the kingdom of darkness exists and they're doing everything they can to try to prevent you from making progress in your spiritual life. So there's a battle going on. Angelic conflict kind of battle. And it affects you as a believer in Christ. Because right now, all the action in the universe is centered around the church of Jesus Christ. And if you're a believer, you're a member of that body. And so you're where the action is, which means that that spiritual warfare is going to percolate and show up from time to time, especially when you're going forward in the plan of God. So we need help. We need a lot of help. And of course, the helper in the Bible is God, the Holy Spirit. The first time he comes on the scene in the New Testament, Jesus Christ said, I'm going to send you the helper in the Gospel of John. And that's because we need help. All right, we're helpless and we need help. And we have enemies that are more powerful than we are, naturally speaking. These angels have got more going on than human beings do in the realm of intelligence and power and so forth. And so if we're going to be able to deal with this, we're going to have to rely on the superior power that's been provided to us in God's word and in the indwelling Holy Spirit. And so if there's nothing else you get out of this little mini series on discernment, I hope it's that you need every day you remain on this present earth with your present bodies and mind of corruption. You're going to need help each and every day of your life in order to get through, spiritually speaking, because of the enemies that come against you. And so the hope that, if nothing else, that you just have a new appreciation for the fact that you need God the Holy Spirit mentoring you. You need the Word of God, a steady diet of it. Each and every day, spending time with God's Word. And each and every day, turning to the Holy Spirit to give you the principles from God's Word that you need in order to deal with whatever's in front of you. A decision, a problem, a difficulty, a weakness, whatever it might be. So that's where we're at. We are in this because of the doctrine of spiritual gifts. We've been on point 4, developing capacity. In fact, it's the whole spiritual life. It's God the Holy Spirit wanting to do a work in you. Developing capacity that you need for everything, but in particular to function effectively in your spiritual gift. The first question we looked at was, what is discernment? And we saw it was the ability to think biblically about all areas of life, making careful distinctions. This is from God and this isn't. Remember, we were in the Gospel of Matthew on Thursday night, seeing how Jesus Christ had to make careful distinctions about the Bible. The Bible itself, because what happened was, when he was being tested by Satan in the desert, Satan actually used Scripture to try to trip him up. It's a shocking thing. Some of the things that are in the Bible, if you really just look at them, they're shocking. You know, we have a sort of naive side about us, right? That doesn't want to have to face the fact that Satan knows the Bible and can use it against us, as he did with Christ. He basically went to Jesus and said, I want you to go against your father's plan, and I'm going to use a big fat verse from the Bible to try to tempt you to do it. Now, let that sink in, because if he's willing to do that with the Son of God, you don't think he's going to try it on you or on me? He knows he has a better chance of success with us. So what does that call for? It calls us to be masters of the Scriptures. And why not? I mean, God has provided the spiritual gift of pastor teacher. He's provided the completed canon of Scripture. He said he is going to preserve and honor his word. And there are always going to be places for people who are interested in knowing the truth and in desiring to know him better. There will always be places where people can go free of charge to just sit and learn God's word. It will be provided, the Bible says. And also, from the moment you were a believer in Christ, God the Holy Spirit came to live in you. So God wants you to win, and he's given you the resources to do it. But you have to have your eyes opened up to what really is going on around us. That's discernment, making distinctions, even in how we think about the Bible. You know, I'm reading a lot about, there's obviously many attacks on what the Word of God has to say. Some of them I've been seeing lately are on the whole doctrine of eternal security. Once again, that gets attacked. And it's amazing how they go to the same verses all the time. But secondly, how they try to confuse what God was doing in the Old Testament with what God's doing in the New Testament. And so they try to mix those things, and they don't mix very well. You're either in one dispensation or another. And you have to understand that we're in the church age dispensation, in the age of grace. And so the things that we're challenged with are different from the things that they were challenged with in the Old Testament. If you don't see that, if you don't have the capacity to deal with that, you're going to be tripped up a lot by people who are going to want to pull things out that were meant to be the lifestyle of the Jews in the theocracy of Israel, and they're going to try to pull them over and make you live under them. By the way, the whole book of Galatians is about the fact that that just won't stand with God. That's the whole book, because the Judaizers that were the Christians that wanted to bring people back to the Mosaic law, even though Jesus Christ had died on the cross and had completed it, They wanted to pull them back. I mean, it's impossible. Look, it's enough of a burden. I don't want to use that word, but it's true. It's enough of a difficulty, a challenge, all right, to live with what we have been called to live in the intensified stage of the angelic conflict, where our enemies are invisible. We've got spiritual warfare going on. All right. And then also to have us try to be pulled back and also try to live the life that they lived in Israel when they had a theocracy, when Jesus Christ was visible and so forth. You can't be in both worlds. So what is that? It's discernment to make careful distinctions about how we think, even about what the Bible has to say. So discernment operates everywhere, but it does operate right here inside the ministry and in your spiritual life. And it's an ability, as we've seen, to separate. What's God's person? In other words, who's God bringing into my life for my benefit spiritually right now? And who isn't? Who's the opposite? What's God's work and what isn't? We've seen this. What's God's will? We're going to talk about that a little more. So important. So much comes down to that. I need to know God's will. I was talking with a person last night, a good friend of mine, and facing amazing attacks, people stabbing him in the back. And what he said to me was, he said, you know what? All of that is fine. He said, but what I need to know is God's will. I want to know why this is happening and what he wants me to do about it. And as soon as I'm straight on that, all these other people can go pound sand. And he meant it. But what was the issue? The issue is we want to know God's will. Once we're secure in that, we can go places. We can deal with, it's true, you can deal with a lot of the other nonsense. Once you're confident and clear that you've seen, you've heard from God's word, and you know what he wants you to do. You know what's going on around you. But that's discernment, and so few people have it. Jesus Christ talked to the Jewish people in his day, and he said, I can't believe it. You guys can discern the weather, but you can't discern what time it is biblically. And you're supposed to be God's people who brought the Bible around. And the same thing for us. We're under the same challenge and indictment, really, as church-age believers, only more so, because we have the Holy Spirit inside us. And even God's truth, we have to discern. Is that in the Bible? Please always ask that question and check it out. You have the right to do that. Acts 17:11, the Bereans. You have the right to say that. Is that in the Bible or not? You know, I'm asking myself that question all the time now. There's certain things that have been concepts and so forth, you know, and all of a sudden I'm finding that they have trouble fitting, or they have trouble in the sense of the greater picture of what the Word of God has to say. And inevitably when that happens, I discover something. That was never in the Bible to begin with. Why was I carrying that around and keeping it on the same level as God's truth when it's not in the Bible? So we all do that, but we have to keep asking that question. Try to be more and more discerning about what truly is purely God's Word and what's been added, what's been tweaked, what's been a nice illustration maybe, but it breaks down. The only illustrations you can count on ultimately are the ones that are in the Bible. And there's a lot of them. You know, the vine and the branches, all the parables that Jesus taught. You can count on those to be enriching for your souls. Doesn't mean you can't use any other illustrations, but please realize that they have a limited purpose. And they always want to flip right back to what does the Bible say? That's discernment. And we're called to that as church age believers, guarding the truth. That's what we are. We're truth guarders. I'm not going to always do it right because we're going to fall on our faces. And I'm discovering that that's a good thing. You might say, why is that a good thing? Because we're so arrogant. It's a good thing once in a while to fall on your face, to realize that without Christ you can do nothing. Because otherwise, man, we'll be so arrogant. You think that, well, you know, the spiritual life is just getting to the point where you're just doing it all right and you're just glorifying God because you're firing on all cylinders and you got the word and you're doing that. And that'd be nice if that were true. The problem is that we're arrogant. We have our old sin natures that as soon as we kind of get a taste of that success spiritually, oh, it is so tempting to stop putting yourself on that old pedestal. And as soon as you start to have a little bit of that, because God loves you, you're going to fall on your face. And have fun. Because you know why? Because the same God says that the righteous man falls seven times and seven times picked up again. And that's part of the process too. But we ought to be more and more discerning about what is God's word itself have to say. Guarding the truth. Truth guarders. And the fact is that we have an enemy that's trying any possible means that he can to tarnish the truth. Do you know that? Do you know that? And I mean, sure, out in the world, we can pick on the world, we can pick on the politics, we can see it clearly out there that they're trying to deceive people. But I'm talking about in the church. We're going to see this morning that the best counterfeits, that Satan has going right now are operating in what people call Christianity, not out. Okay? That's discernment too. You have to remember that in any given time, the majority, even of Christians, is almost always wrong. That's sobering, but it's true. It's true. God is always working with the minority. I mean, after all, you use 12 men to change the world, not 12 million. And if you look, historically, it's always been the case. Now, but somehow I think we slip into this kind of never land and think, but except for the United States of America, because we all know we're all great Christians here in this day and age, right? No, okay? That is just not the way things are. I wish it were. I'm a patriot. I'm a Patriots fan, too. I'm not talking about that right now. I'm a patriot. I mean, I love my country. I love how God has used this country. But I'm also not naive. I hope. And I see God's word. And I see how it... We're going to see this morning anyway. How he keeps talking about, look, guys, many will be led astray. Many false teachers will be on the scene. Not a couple, but many. And so we have to be willing to be in the minority with the confidence that we know that what we're fighting for and guarding and defending is the truth. And even when, you know, the popular thing around us within Christianity now, not outside of it, but even when the popular thing around us within Christianity is something different. You see, that takes something. That takes, you know, something has to be built up. We're not naturally like this. Human beings, we love being with the crowd. We love marching right along with the herd. We don't want to be separated. We don't want to be in the minority. Nobody does. Right? So what does it take? It takes something being built in us by God to allow us to stand up on our two spiritual feet and say, you know what? I can do this because I can do all things, not because I'm so tough or so smart, but through Christ who strengthens me. He's got to strengthen us. How does that happen? Is that magic? Does he strengthen you because he just likes you? So I think I'll strengthen that one. You know, it's always us. You ever notice people that believe that God picks some and not others? They're always picked. I never get over that. I've never heard a hyper-Calvinist yet who said, God picks some and not others, and I'm not one of them. They're always one of them. How does it work? I don't know. But anyway, the bottom line is that that's not how God works. You see that he gives us an opportunity to say yes, you know. I've often said this, and you might get tired of hearing it, but, you know, Mary, the virgin, who was the mother of Jesus in his humanity, right? People say it must have been something special about her, and blah, blah, blah. Of course there was, but I'm really convinced that the thing about it was that when she heard that outrageous, outlandish story, because she knew it was from God, she said yes. And there could have been, I'm not saying the word, I have no proof of this at all, but there could have been others that he tried first, and they said, get out of here, that's crazy, I can't do that. But there's somebody who said yes, and she gets to be the one that's honored for all of eternity. And that can be you, by the way. My point is that we have to say, yes, come on in and strengthen me. No longer my ways, but your ways, Lord. You know, I want your word to strengthen me. I don't want to think I can do it myself because I know I can't. That's discernment, and we need it. Why do we need it? Well, that's what we're going to continue looking at this morning. One of the things, we've seen this in the last week or so, we're not going to do this morning, but we were in James chapter 3, where we saw there were two kinds of wisdom, not wisdom and foolishness. This is where it gets tricky. This is where you have to be honest and understand that what's going on is that there's two kinds of wisdom, you know? It's like behind door number one and door number two, right? And there's pretty women in front of both of them. And there's dollar signs on front of both doors. You know, they both look good. Wisdom, two kinds of wisdom. This is what we're up against. There's wisdom that appeals to our naturally minded man and always will. And then there's the wisdom that only comes from recognizing it's from God's word. And that's where we're facing, two kinds of wisdom. We were in James 3 to see that. He called it the wisdom that comes from below. But it's wisdom, remember. See, we're all set, you know, for the obvious things, the witchcraft and the drugs and the weird sex. And we always think that's the way it's coming. Right, but the Bible spends not much more time, particularly in the New Testament, saying, watch out for the false teaching within. Watch out for the ones that come to you as wolves in sheep's clothing, not wolves in wolf's clothing. You see, right? The wolves in wolf's clothing you can spot a mile away. right? The ones that are obviously ungodly and all, and we spend a lot of time over here. But how about these? How about they're still wolves? The only difference is they're in sheep's clothing, right? So they can fit in. They can get close to us. How about that? We have to have discernment to see that. There's a wisdom that comes from below, but it's earthly. It's of this world. It always was. It started showing up the moment that Satan tempted Adam and the woman, and they were out of the Garden of Eden into the fallen world. Think about Cain and how that whole thing operated. It's a fascinating study, but I don't want to get off track. But Cain's an interesting dude. Maybe someday we'll talk about him. Why it was. Why was it that God did not accept that offering from Cain? You ever think about that? Actually, it's a pretty good illustration, so maybe I'll take a minute on it. Let's just do it. Okay. Here you have two brothers. Okay, Cain and Abel. And when you're off of Cain, you're Abel again, by the way. That's another, no extra charge for that. But Cain and Abel, they're both brothers. Now, they both do the best they can in bringing an offering to the Lord. Right, now, on one level, didn't you ever, I mean, maybe you're holier than I am. But when I was a kid and I heard the story of Cain and Abel, I was feeling like, you know, this isn't fair. What poor Cain, he worked his butt off. He was in the fields all Abel did was kill an animal, boom, and he puts him on an altar. And God picks him. Like that, come on, God. You know? Well, what's behind that? You ever ask yourself the question, what's behind that? Always ask that question. What's God up to? Don't just say he's unfair and walk away scratching your head. Say, what's he up to? Well, the situation was, you see, that Abel had understood the nature of what happened in the fall with his daddy, and Cain didn't. You see, Cain still thought he could get it done. He thought he had the power himself to be able to produce something from his own flesh that was pleasing to God. Abel didn't think that. He realized that it had to be a blood sacrifice, picturing grace and the fact that God had to do something about our situation, not ourselves. And that, and yet, I hope I just realize, see, there's a part of us that is on Cain's side that says, you know what? Yeah, we're supposed to be able to do it ourselves and follow the law and work hard. And doesn't that sound right to you? I mean, the politicians these days are saying, you know, everybody's going to play by the rules. If everybody plays by the rules, then we'll have a great country. It sounds right. I mean, I challenge you to say it doesn't, because in our natural mind, it does. It does, right? And yet, the Word of God says differently. You know, there's the demonic side. See, Satan, we're going to see this morning. I think we'll get this far. His deal is that he wants to be as much like God as possible. That's what he wants. You know, we say demonic, right? And I always think about the movies that were out when I was a kid. You know, pea soup and all that. I don't want to go too far with that. I don't know how much you've eaten this morning, But, you know, demonic. There's always, in other words, Hollywood, right? They always come up with the obvious demonic, right? You spot it a mile away. I mean, people whose heads spin around are not an everyday occurrence. And when you see it, it's pretty clear there's some problem there, okay? I don't have any real discerning, right, to pick that one up. Ooh, staying away from that. You know, they do the Ouija board and then they're in this huge car accident. Not for me, buddy. I'm glad you show me not to touch that stuff. That's obvious. So but every time we see that word, that's what we think, right? But then you have to say, wait a minute, okay? And we'll see some of these passages. But he's a counterfeiter. He's not gonna. His best shot is not gonna be that. It's gonna be something that looks good. When Satan went to tempt a woman, he didn't come over there and show big horns on his head. I'm scary. Stay away. Right? He said, no, this is good for you. God's holding back on you. You eat this, you're going to be just like God. You're going to know good from evil. You're not going to die. He was like the greatest con man in history, you know? Like that, there's a scene in, never mind. Monty Python, I can't go there. It's Sunday. I can't go there. All right, I can't go there. Guys had the biggest meal in history. The waiter comes afterwards, and the guy says, if I eat one more thing, I'll explode. And then the waiter comes by and says, hey, this is just like a little dessert. It's just a little candy. It's only this big. You certainly won't explode. And the guy eats it, and of course, knowing Monty Python, they're going to make him explode. And he literally blows up, and all his heart is this left and stuff. Sorry, guys, if you haven't eaten, I really apologize. But it's a great picture for Satan. That's what he's like. He wants to be as much like God as possible. Make you think he's God. Okay? So that's what I mean by a counterfeiter. And that's what I mean by needing discernment. Like I said, we spot the obvious a while away. It's the ones that are in disguise that we need help with. And luckily, there's another kind of wisdom that comes from above. God said, these people need help. You know, they're blind. They're deceived. We have, you know, hearts of stone, all the things that we talked about in the Bible about us, right? We need help. And especially since we're on the field of play against the forces of evil in the heavenly places. So he says, I'm going to give them wisdom that comes from above. And if they stick with that, if they humble themselves on the mighty hand of God, if they get that into their souls, then they will be discerning people that God can say, I can put you in a situation, I can rely on you turning to my word to see what's going on. That's discernment. But we have to be renewed for that to happen. We have to be equipped. We have to be trained. It doesn't happen naturally. Left to ourselves, it will always be really hard, if not impossible, to tell those two kinds of wisdom apart. We need help. We need training, equipment, renewal, the Word of God, capacity in our souls to handle it, the Holy Spirit as our helper, practice out there in doing it in order to learn to distinguish between the opposites kinds of wisdom that they're out there. Because the naturally minded man, this is why we're in 1 Corinthians 2 this week, the naturally minded man, which all of us were at birth, until the moment that we believed in Jesus Christ, we were 100% naturally minded man. You put that, if you were a product, you could put that on the front. 100% naturally minded man, right? A lot of people married 100% naturally minded people. And then you had to figure that out too. But the deal is, that's how we start. That's where all of our original training was, in the school of Satan, all right, in terms of learning the world's wisdom and so forth. And that guy will never be able to distinguish between the two because they're spiritually appraised. They don't have the equipment. The equipment is what? God the Holy Spirit mentoring us, the Word of God alive and powerful. You need that. You need a human spirit. You need that. If you don't have that, you'll never be able to distinguish between these two, which is why 95% of the people in our country cannot. You scratch your heads. You know, this is a tough time to be an American because this whole, the deception machines are in full bloom right now, you know, and you're watching all these people falling for all this obvious stuff, and you're scratching your head, you're saying, how can they, and this is a big part of the answer. Okay, if you're naturally minded, you're not going to get it. Now, even if you're a believer, okay, but you're not, you know, you're not using the equipment that you have, right? It's like, it's kind of like you have the horse and buggy and the Maserati, and you keep jumping in the horse and buggy. That's what happens when you, even as a Christian, you don't take advantage of the power of God's word and the power of the Holy Spirit. You're still trying to win the race in the horse and buggy over here. You know, which, by the way, if you looked at the horses, you would notice that they have blinders on, which is part of the reason why you don't get anywhere. All right. That's the flesh. That's the naturally minded man. When sitting right there in your life every day, is God the Holy Spirit and his word saying, will you pick me up? Will you turn my way? Will you give me a chance to show you how it's done? You see, and most believers say, no, I'm fine the way I am. I don't want to change. I don't want to be challenged. I don't want to be lifted up from this natural world that I'm comfortable in into the spiritual world, which is all new to me. You see, but that's the challenge. Look at 1 Corinthians 2:14. 1 Corinthians 2:14. But a natural man, you make me feel like a natural man. But a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God. Notice this, for they are foolishness to him. You see that? How can that be? But it's true. The wisdom from above is actually foolishness to the natural mind. We talked about that. I mean, all you have to do really is think about the cross. The cross settles so much. And to understand that the cross in the day and age when Christ came and died on it was a thing of horror and shame, and nobody went there. Okay, nobody would want to talk about it in polite company. And that's how God, the God-man, went there to redeem the world. All you have to do is really just see that to understand what it means. That, you know, when that story is told to somebody, okay, who's naturally minded, they're going to say, that's foolishness. Come on. Why would God do that? How can that be? How can the, you say he's the king? Why would they treat their king like that? Why would a king allow himself to be treated like that? You see, it's foolishness to the world's way of thinking. And it still is, you know, I mean, it hasn't changed. The problem today is that too many Christians and too many pastors, in fact, and too many maybe even evangelists hide that. They don't want to talk about the cross. They want to talk about prosperity gospel. They want to talk about feeling good. Your life's going to be great and all of this. And it will be in another level. But the deal is you have to first come down to the cross of Jesus Christ. Why did he have to die? Why did God become man and have to die a horrible, shameful death? Why? Because something basically is wrong on this earth. And it has to do with us, which is why he had to become one of us. That's why. You see? But that's foolishness to people until they have the Holy Spirit open their eyes and they say, okay, now I'm going to believe in Jesus Christ. But the natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. And notice this, he cannot understand them. And this was you before you became a believer in Christ. This is you now when you refuse to listen to the mentorship of the Spirit, when you refuse to put yourself in a position where you're consistently taking in God's word. All right? It's going to be, you cannot understand it unless you're using your spiritual equipment, spiritually appraised. But he who is spiritual appraises all things, yet he himself is appraised by no one. No, for who has known the mind of the Lord that he will instruct him? We have the mind of Christ. You know where we have it? Right here. We have it. This is the mind of Jesus Christ right here. And now notice what has to come together, right? The Holy Spirit and the mind of Christ. And you have both if you're a believer. Holy Spirit lives in you, and the mind of Christ is the Word of God, the Bible, which again, God has promised that he will have pulpits that will be teaching God's Word so that whosoever wants to hear it will have an opportunity to, from now until the day of the rapture. So the pieces are in place. The issue, of course, is what? Do I want it? Do I desire it? Am I like Paul, who says 25 years after he's saved, he's an apostle, he's saved thousands and tens of thousands of people with his ministry, and he still comes up in the book of Philippians and says, but there's something else. I want to come to know him. That's desire. That's realizing that that's a deep, deep reservoir of meaning that we just probe the surface of. Come to know him. Discernment, because Proverbs 16:25, there is a way that seems right to a man or a woman, but its end is the way of death. Kind of a horrible thing, you know. I mean, we're not taught this. You know, you read the fables and the fairy tales and everything, and it always works out right, you know. They always find the right path home. That's not what God's word says. If God were writing Grimm's fairy tales, they'd be grimmer. Because the bottom line is that so time and time again, somebody without the guidance of God's word and without the Holy Spirit would do what seemed right to them and find everything fell apart and broke and became a dead end and a horror show. You know? Why? Because there is a way that seems right to him, not wrong. You know, we're expecting the Bible to say, well, there was a way that he knew it was wrong and he did it anyway, so You know, that would be our Bible. Right? Your fault. That's not what this says. This says there's a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. That to me is humbling. A little scary, actually. And a good scary, meaning I can't really trust me, myself, and I to be able to recognize which way to go. And that is where we are. A lot of people don't want to hear that. So this message will not be popular because people don't want to hear that. They want to hear, you're doing great. Just keep doing what you're doing. God loves you. You're going to be fine and all that. And all that's true, but this is true also. And because this is what creates in us the desire and the need to be close to God's word on a consistent basis. It's these kind of things that recognize that. Wait a minute. I really do need him all the time. Please turn to Acts 20:28. Because I want to get into this counterfeiting business this morning. Now, we're not going to get into the business, but we're going to get into learning about the business of what the kingdom of darkness is doing in counterfeiting. Counterfeiting. What? What's he going to counterfeit? You know, it's funny. I mean, you hear about these crooks, right? And they counterfeit dollar bills. And I could never understand that. I was thinking, what are you doing? It probably, think about the equipment, it's kind of expensive, you know? And you go and spend like your first dollar bill that you printed and they catch you. You're going to go to jail for 20 years for a dollar. What are you, crazy? You know, people don't counterfeit dollar bills usually. They're just, that's dumb, right? What do? Hundreds they start with. Or even better, let's counterfeit jewelry, right? Let's take something that isn't really a diamond and make it look like one. It cost us 30 cents and we're going to sell it for $500. That's what people do. What am I saying? I'm saying that they're going to counterfeit something valuable, something important, right? So to ask yourself a question. What's important in the Christian way of life? What's of highest value in the Christian way of life? That's what the kingdom of darkness will counterfeit. You get it? That's what they're after. And the Bible's crystal clear on this. For example, I just got through saying, we need good Bible teaching, right? We need good Bible teaching. I don't think anybody disagrees with that. You know who else knows that? The kingdom of darkness. They know we need good Bible teaching too. So what are they going to do? Remember, they are the master original counterfeiters. They're going to counterfeit teachers. It's a shocking thing, but it's true. They're going to counterfeit Bible teachers. Why? Because that's what people need. And they think it's good, and they think it's from God. There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. Meaning, be careful. You are warned. The Bible warns us over and over again to be vigilant. Because he says there'll be many, not a few, not one over there that everybody knows about and stays away from. You know, there's certain, and I'm as guilty of this as anybody. There's certain obvious examples that we pick on. You know, the ones that one day say there's a Trinity and the next day they say there's only one. And one day you can lose your salvation and then you can't. They're speaking in all kinds of things and, you know, all the obvious stuff that we pick on. Okay. But then there's the subtle stuff. Okay, where it looks pretty much good, but then they zing something in there to attack and we'll see what they attack. But like the gospel is the biggest one. Do you know how few I had to put it this way. It sounds like I'm judging, but a lot of people don't have the gospel right, including ministries. Let me put it that way. They really don't. And that's shocking, but it's true. It's the basic. But again, it makes all the sense in the world, because if you were Satan, what would you go after? What's the most important message? Remember, the $100 bill, not the $1 bill. What's the $100 bill in the Christian way of life? The gospel. Because you can't even get in the door to the party unless you got that $100 bill, right? You don't need money, but you know, believe in the gospel. So of course they're going to go after that. Look at Acts chapter 20, verse 28. Paul is not talking to baby believers. You know, he's not talking to the prep school right here. He is talking to the overseers, the elders. Okay, the mature leaders of the early church. Notice what he says. And this is at Ephesus, by the way. Acts 20, 28. Be on guard for yourselves. And notice that. For yourselves. These are the wise ones, supposedly. These are the leaders, the mature Christians, the more knowledgeable and advanced men. He says, be on guard for yourselves. In other words, you can fall for this counterfeit too. And for all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you, the overseers, to shepherd, that you're in charge. Watch out for this, in other words. The church of God, which he purchased with his own blood, which is a great deity of Christ, by the way, passage. Because notice, it's the church of God, whoever he is, purchased with his own blood. And only the God, the person in the Trinity that has blood, could be in view here. That means that this one has blood and is God. And the only one I know of who has blood and is God is Jesus Christ. So this is a great deity of Christ passage, by the way. To shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. I know, Paul knew this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And note it, the most shocking thing to me is verse 30. And from among your own selves. Now, who's he talking to? He's talking to the elders, the overseers, the pastors. From among your own selves, men will arise. See, these are the wolves in sheep's clothing. They look just like the real thing. Men will arise. And of course, these are savage wolves, and they're going to come. They're going to attack the flocks. I guess they're going to rob them, and they're going to steal from them, and they're going to beat them up, and they're going to put them in prison, all the obvious things. Except that's not what Paul warns them about. He says, from among your own selves, men will arise, what? Speaking perverse things. What was the most vile, vicious attack that Paul wanted to make sure the pastors were aware of? You know, not robbery, not putting people in prison. Nope. Speaking perverse things. Let that settle in for a minute. That's how they come. Always been that way. Did Satan go into the garden and have one of those little like Cupid arrows and shoot it at Eve so that she would fall in love with him? That what he did? Did he like bully her? Come on, you're going to have to do this. Do you have a gun to her head? If you don't eat from this root, it's all over for you and the guy too. I'll get him next. Is that how he came to the garden? No. Words. Nice words. Pleasant words. Words that Eve was dying to hear. I can be a God. I can be just like God. This is my lucky day. Where do I sign up? I won't die either. I thought I was going to die if I ate that stuff. Apparently not, because this serpent, I don't know why I'm talking to a serpent, but I am. Words, perverse words that you want to hear. Who doesn't want to hear? You know what? You come and do it our way and you give us 10%, you're going to be rich. Who doesn't want to be rich? If anybody in this room does not want to be rich, raise your hand right now. I thought so. I didn't think so, right? You want to hear that. You want somebody to stand up and say, you do this and you'll be rich. Of course you do. You'll do this and you'll be better than everybody else. You do this and we're going to take over this country. We're going to be on top and we're going to have things our way again. Oh, I like that. Yeah. And there's a lot of that around today. That's not true. We have a king who said, my kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my subjects would be fighting for me right now. But as it is not of this world. And he says, when I come back, I'm not even sure there's going to be any faith left on earth. That's the reality. But do we want to hear that? Not really. I don't like that. I don't want to be in the minority. I don't want to have people think I'm, like, weird. But that's the reality. But there'll be plenty out there that will tell you the lie that you want to hear. Those are the false teachers. Notice again. From among your own selves, men will arise, speaking perverse things. Why? To draw away the disciples after them. To take them out of the place where they're really being taught the truth of God's word, where they're really growing in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, and bring them somewhere else where they'll be lied to and left by the side of the road, following ways that seem right to them, but ultimately lead to death. That's why. Not just once does the Bible talk about this, but many times. Look at on the board, 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. Because notice this, many false prophets have gone out into the world. Now, the thing about it is in other words, they will look spiritual. You know, I mean, I'm human. I am as vulnerable to these kind of things as anybody else. And when I was a young person, I studied the religions of this world in detail. Bought books on it and studied. And one of the areas and people and stuff that I was really impressed with were the Buddhists. I was really impressed with like the Dalai Lama. He seemed spiritual to me. I didn't know anything, but except being human, right? Being human, it seemed to me, if you were spiritual, you would. You'd go to a mountain somewhere, and you'd just bring the other spiritual guys with you, and you'd have spiritual robes and spiritual incense, and you'd sit around with doing spiritual stuff, you know, like telling how bad the world is and how I'm a Nobel Peace Prize winner and all that. That's spiritual, man. I tell you what. And sitting there and saying, all is nothing. Nothing is all. And then somebody else goes, you know, and then we'll go out there and we'll beg for money at the airport. That seems spiritual to me. I don't know about you, but that seemed real spiritual to me as a kid before I learned anything about what the Bible has to say, you know. And a lot of people think so too, you know. Some people in Hollywood, they find something different that looks spiritual every week. You know, it's this one and that one and Scientological and Scientolubili and Hawaii-Awaya and Kabalui. And I can't even keep up with all the things they think are spiritual. You know, and you have the objects in your house that they like glow or that they like spin around and like, ooh, do, 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 you know. That's spiritual, man. I'm getting an experience. It's spiritual. You laugh, but that's the culture we're in. We talked about it. Remember, we talked about the designer religions out there. I'm 1/10 Kabbalah and 30% Catholic because the country's 30% Catholic and blah, 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 right? They think that's spiritual. Why? Because this appeals to the naturally minded man. Notice it always appeals to your senses. Notice everything I talked about, right? Was it doctrine? Was it truth that sets you free that I was just talking about? No way. It was mountaintops and what I was smelling and what clothes people wore and how low I get my voice and all this kind of thing. It's all physical, sensual, soul stuff that anybody can fall for. But God said, I have a hidden wisdom that the world does not know, but only the Spirit can teach it to you. Okay. That's what he says. But there will be many false prophets that go out in the world. Please turn to 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. The things God got to do to make somebody a communicator of the word, huh? He beat me up so many ways, brought me all these crazy places. You don't want to know. I don't want to know either. Forgetting the things that lie behind and reaching forward to the things that lie ahead. That's where I want to be. All right, 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. But false prophets also arose among the people. There it is again. Just as there will also be false teachers among you. Notice the promise. That was the thing. That's the thing. The other thing. It's a promise. He's not speculating. Paul didn't speculate. He didn't say, you know, be careful because it's possible that after I leave, savage wolves might come. He said, savage wolves will come. It will happen. Same thing that Peter says here. False prophets arose among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you. Notice how they operate. Who will come out and say, you know, I'm contradicting the Bible right now, but I don't care because I'm a smart guy and I'm contradicting the Bible right now. Is that what they'll do? No. How will they do it? They will secretly introduce destructive heresies. You got to watch out for this. You got to watch out for this because it is saying they're going to secretly introduce it. They're not going to say, I'm contradicting the Bible. They're going to secretly, in other words, you know, you got a nice meal that you really like, and they just secretly put a little arsenic in. No, really, that's what we're talking about here. Well, you're not looking. Look at this presentation. Look at these children. Look at all of this arsenic in the doctrine. Okay, here you go. You can lose your salvation if you don't give $1,000 today for these poor children. Secretly introduce destructive heresies. That's what they do. Even denying the master who bought them. We're going to see this too. Attack the person of Christ. You know, if there's one thing that you want to stand up for, it's that Christ be magnified, Christ be glorified. Never mind all the other nonsense. Let's talk about Jesus Christ. Okay? Although a lot of people talk about God. Let's get God back in public schools. Because you know what? The Muslims believe in God. And most of the false religions believe in God. But how about Jesus Christ? How about the Lord Jesus Christ? Can we say that? You know, of course, yeah, we can. I mean, the world doesn't want to hear that, right? And churches are the same way. They'll talk for hours about being a better person and blah, 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 blah. But how about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who died on a Roman cross and rose again and is ascended into heaven and we're in union with? Let's talk about him. You see, why? Because the false teachers won't. That's why, because you know what? When you do that, you see, you provide the light that makes it clear where the darkness is. That's why. I mean, above the fact that we should be glorifying him anyway. But you see, they're going to even deny the master that bought them, bringing swift destruction upon themselves. Which, by the way, is the comfort at the end of the day, because we really can't be out there being the Christian policeman, and we're not supposed to be. We're not supposed to be out there finding fault with everybody else. No, we're supposed to just be who we are supposed to be in Christ, preach the word in season and out of season. God will take care of his flock. This is the other thing. You know, we have a role to play. But trust me, we saw the passage in the Old Testament that the ones that are digging a pit for you are eventually going to fall into it themselves. You know, you can't be around this garbage for too long and not have it mess you up, by the way. If you're out there teaching other people they can lose their salvation, eventually that message is going to hit you and you're going to realize that I am on sand, not rock, and I'm hurting too. And something will happen that will make it really hard for you to get through. Because the truth does set you free and the lies do put you in bondage, and never more so than if you're foolish enough to stand up and teach the lie. And that's what this says. will bring swift destruction upon themselves. Many will follow, but notice verse 2. This is what pains a pastor's heart. Many will follow their sensuality. And because, notice it's many though. Many, not a few, many. And because of them, the way of the truth will be maligned. And isn't that true? Don't you have to fight through a thicket of all the ways in which people who have not been authentic about Christianity have messed things up for us to try to talk to people about Christ? I think about our Jewish brethren. And I think about their history in Western civilization, Western Europe. And I think about all the thugs and the bullies and the popes and you name it that have been so vicious and vile and hurtful to those people in the name of Jesus Christ, and it makes me angry. Why? Well, first of all, that you'd ever do that to another human being. But secondly, they use the name of my Lord to do that. And what is it? Because they're not only lying, but they're also making the path harder for ones that just want to give the gospel to people. The Bible says that the way of the truth will be maligned, and in their greed, that's another one. A few months ago, we talked about watch the money, right? Watch the money. You know, what's his name? Ran for president, had that right.
The kind of guy from Texas with the big ears.
What was his name? What? Ross Perot.
Follow the money.
He was right. He knew human nature. I mean, they're in it for something, right? You're in it for something. Okay, you're either in it because you've been blown away by the power and the grace of God and the gospel of Jesus Christ and who he is, and you just want to dedicate yourself to him, or you're in it for something else. Right? If you're a false teacher, you're in it for something else. Now, what might be something that would be something that false teachers would be in it for? Money. Yeah, this isn't hard stuff. Yeah. And they agreed. See, what is this? This is discernment. This is God teeing us up, giving us equipment, renewing us, training us for what to watch for. What to watch for, right? In their greed, they will exploit you with false words. And their judgment from long ago is not idle, and their destruction is not asleep. Please turn to 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. That was one of the first things that we worked on when we first got this church started, was the policies around money. You have to. It may seem like, wouldn't you work on spiritual things first? Well, actually, that is a spiritual thing, because so many people have been messed up by thinking that there really was a money issue in the church. And so you really have to, you know, as leaders, if you're in a church and you're a leader, you really have to be clear on that, you know, and come up with a policy and stick to it. It's very important. You may think that people, you know, that's important because of this kind of stuff. All right, so the Bible says also, in addition to the false teachers, that in the last days, which you can decide for yourself whether or not we're in them, but there's certainly trends in the Bible that talk about it, and I believe, and you'll see some of them this morning, and you can judge for yourself, but it is a judgment call, but it is a discernment question. Are we in the last days? I think there's a heck of a lot of evidence that says we are. And the Bible says that in the last days, the believer will be bombarded with an incredible amount of evil through various media. Think that's happening? I think so. Look at 1 Timothy 4, verse 1. But the Spirit explicitly says that in later times, some will fall away from the faith. Why? Paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons by means of the hypocrisy of liars seared in their own conscience as with a branding iron. Think maybe they wanted to get a message to us when they wrote this one? Look at that. The Spirit explicitly says, okay, that's the, you know, for the communicator of the church age mystery doctrine and the epistles, that's the equivalent of remembering the Gospels when Jesus would say, amen, amen, truly, truly. In other words, if you've been sleeping in Bible class, now's a good time to wake up. That's my translation. Same thing here. The Spirit explicitly says. Now, we know the Spirit inspired all of the Bible. So when somebody goes to the trouble of talking about this one, the Spirit really, really, really wants you to hear, You should pay attention. In later times, some will fall away from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and, plural, notice, and doctrines of demons, plural, by means of the hypocrisy of liars, plural, seared in their own consciences with a branding iron. Please turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. These are some of the last documents that Paul would write before he would go to be with the Lord. So he's got more urgency than ever to try to make sure he's taking care of the flock. Okay, so there's certain things he's going to say at the end that he really wants to emphasize and make sure that this gets passed down from generation to generation to all the churches, so they're always on guard for this kind of stuff. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. But realize this, that in the last days, difficult times will come. I dedicate to the prosperity gospel people and to the dominion theology people who say that we're going to take over the world. That is not what the Bible says. The Bible says that in the last days, difficult times will come, for men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, there it is again, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving. Anybody feeling a little insecure now about our culture after seeing all these things? Look at these things. Irreconcilable, malicious gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding to a form of spirituality, although they have denied its power. No gospel, no death and resurrection of Christ, none of that. Avoid such men as these. Yeah. For men will be lovers of self, lovers of money. These are in order, by the way. These are in order of things. The first thing, the first clue. Now, here's the thing. We're studying discernment. So what I want you to do this morning is really, you know, we can look at this. We can be, like, shocked by it the first time, offended by it the second time, start to think about it the third time. But what I really want you to do is to load yourself up and say, these are the kind of clues I have about the wrong places to be and the wrong people to be hanging out with, okay? For men will be what? Lovers of self. It's all about them. Lovers of money. It's all about money. Boastful. Arrogant. Revilers. Revilers mean they're putting everything down except themselves. That's what it leads to. Once you become a lover of self and it's all about you, you have to then put down other people. And that's what they do. They're disobedient to parents. I dedicate that to two children ages 11 and 13. I don't know if they're here today. Oh, they hate me now. They hate me now. Disobedient to parents. Ungrateful. Unholy. What's your gratitude gauge? Make it high. Find a way to be grateful for something today that God's done for you, or a person in your life. Say thank you. I was so impressed yesterday with a young lady and giving her a ride home. And while I'm giving her a ride home, she gets on the phone and she's thanking another parent for all the things that parent had done before. And I said, that is so rare these days for people to actually take a moment and say thank you. That's gratitude. By the way, you know, that is a big part of the glory cycle. This is what I mean. God gets glorified by giving. You know that, right? His grace policy. He gets magnified by how much he can give to undeserving people like us. But there is something we can do in that glory cycle. And that's him. It's all coming down. It's raining down. The blessings of God. You know what we can do this way? Gratitude. Thank you, Lord. Right? Bless the Lord, O my soul. All that is within me. Bless the Lord. And forget none of his benefits. Forget none of his benefits. You got clothes on this morning? That's a benefit. You're able to breathe? That's a benefit. Can you see with one eye or two? That's a benefit. Did you walk in here? That's a benefit. Do you have access to the truth of God's word that sets you free? Are you indwelt by the Trinity this morning? Are you in union with Jesus Christ forever and ever? And I'm just getting started. There's so many benefits, but we forget them. And we think that's okay. We think it's okay to forget the hundreds and thousands of blessings in our life and sit there like a stubborn four-year-old and focus on the one thing that's not right. And we think that's okay. It's not okay. We're ungrateful when we do that. Imagine if we were our kids. Imagine if you as the parent had bled for your kid and it provided new life. And all these things, and the kids, that's all fine, but, you know, I only got three toys, and I wanted four. How would you feel? That would make me feel real good as the parent. But we do that to the Lord all the time. Why? We forget his benefits. We're not grateful. See, and the problem, here's the thing I want you to understand. This is a discernment issue, because why do you think we're like that? You know, obviously our sin nature is like that. But we're also in a world that's ungrateful. Like, we're in a country that's ungrateful. Our country, and I don't want to talk politics, but we're getting torn apart right now by people who want more, 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 when we have been blessed so much in the financial realm in this country. You'll knock your socks off. Go anywhere else in this world and try to see what we have here and the breadth that we have it. And we're destroying ourselves because we want more. And I want what he has. And I don't care if he gets it and so forth. And I'm not picking on any one party, by the way. That's true across the board. That is our politics today. If I can't get what I want, I'm not giving what you want. And I don't care if the country goes down. That's where we're at. What is that? Ungrateful. So why am I saying that? Because you have to be discerning and say, this is where I am. Whenever I turn the TV on, I'm going to get dumped with ungrateful. Whenever I go into the office and start talking to people, I'm going to hear ungrateful. It's the last times, after all. It's the last days. They're going to be difficult times. And if I'm not careful, I'm going to be sucked in by ungrateful. I'm going to become ungrateful myself. There's a way that seems right to a man, but it is the way of death. So I want you to look at these things for what they are and realize that they're disgusting to God. Not in the realm of sin, but in the realm of he does not want this in his children's souls. He doesn't want you to be unloving. He wants you to be full of love. He doesn't want you to be irreconcilable. He wants you to be the ambassador of reconciliation, the opposite of that. He doesn't want you to be malicious gossips. He wants you to zip the lip when you hear something and have it stop with you. He doesn't want you to be without self-control. That's the last fruit of the Spirit, to be self-controlled. He doesn't want you to be brutal. He wants you to be kind. He wants you to love what's really good. He doesn't want you to be treacherous. He wants you to be innocent as a dove. He doesn't want you to be reckless. He wants you to be sober-minded, to think as you ought. He doesn't want you to be conceited. He wants you to put others in front of their needs in front of yours. He doesn't mind you having pleasure, but he doesn't want you to fall in love with it. He wants you to fall in love with him. And this is a good test for how discerning we are. See, the Bible tells us in the last days, the believer is going to be bombarded with an incredible amount of evil through various media. For example, Daniel 12, even the Old Testament, prophesied this. But as for you, Daniel, conceal these words and seal up the book until the end of time. Many will go back and forth, and knowledge will increase. Notice that. Many will go back and forth. Transportation will be revved up, and knowledge will increase. Now, when they say knowledge will increase, it doesn't just mean any old thing. It means, like, intensely increase. And if you know anything about the last 100 years, what the two of the major trends in the world, and especially in the United States, are in the area of transportation and data. Knowledge, right? Transportation, literally from the horse and buggy to the space shuttle in 100 years. Data, I've told you stories about me trudging off to the library only 40 years ago. And something that would take me 6 hours of research, walking to the library, I can do in 1 minute now. www.google, and then 3 words. If I'm clever, I like to be clever. I try to do it in as few words as possible, right? Finding what I need. Boom, there it is, right? Good and bad, though. I mean, I don't have to go too far with that. We can Google search good, and we can Google search bad, right? And the fact of the matter is that we are bombarded with an incredible amount of evil through various media. This is literally coming true before our eyes and ears. The internet, Facebook, Twitter, wireless communication, 24-hour cable news, explosion of the printed word, explosion of cults, false religions. Explosions of them. I mean, we have new cults you wouldn't even imagine 50 years ago. Somebody was telling me, I don't even want to say, I retain too much information sometimes, and it comes out in the wrong times. But I was hearing some cult, it was like, the things that people worship are unbelievable. But explosion of these things. Exponential increases in the volume of available information. Exponential. You don't think, though, this is what I want you to get tuned into. You don't think that has an impact on your soul? I mean, I was thinking about something as simple as the cell phone, you know, and how the people that can get to you today, exponentially more. You know, in the old days, listen to me, barely 50 years old. I'm saying the old days. Sound like my grandfather when he was 80. The old days, you know. But really, I've talked about this before because it's so important. You could shut yourself off from the world really easily. Gosh, you know what it's as simple as? It was as simple as doing this. This was the headset on the phone. That simple. Gone. And no voicemail. They would never get you. It would just ring, 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 ring. And oh, well. Oh, I was busy. I don't know. It must have been the phone company. And you could have 3 hours to yourself studying God's word or whatever else you wanted to do. Not today. Cell phone rings. You don't answer it. You see who it is. You feel guilty. Then the home phone rings. And you look at it. It's the same person. You feel doubly guilty. Then you get an email. And then they're on Facebook talking about you in 5 minutes. How's that for privacy? And the information we get, you know, when we get bombarded with information, most of it bad. I was talking to the bank teller on Friday, and these poor people, they're sitting there, they have to work all day with CNN News barking in their left ear because the customers want it. I said, I'm going to start a good news TV channel, you know? Did you know that today in the United States of America, 308 million people did not die? That's going to be the headline. Well, wouldn't it matter, though, if you really did surround yourself with that? And you had a news channel and a Twitter account that all it was doing was pouring in all the blessings that we have in this country. Did you know that the average American has more wealth than the Caesar in Rome? And that'd be nice to hear once in a while. And that, you know, all these people that are taking care of other people. Did you know this person here is working two jobs so he has extra money for his mama? I want that on the news. I want that on Twitter. I'm serious. This would matter. It would make a difference. You're getting bombarded with garbage. And you don't think it has an effect on your soul? Think again. Think again. You'll start to think there's ways that seem right to a man. You'll start getting bitter with all this stuff coming in. You'll start getting depressed. You'll start getting angry. And why? Because you have a hormonal imbalance? Maybe you do. That's none of my business. But no, it's because of the information that you're being bombarded with. Think about it. Think about it. You know? I think about the things people get upset with and the things they don't. We should be upset about this, but we're not. But we should be. We should say, the heck with that. I'm not going to let that stuff bring my whole day down and make me yell at my kids and have to go and do the bad habits that I don't want to do. I'm going to get rid of that. You know? All right. So to put a name on this, it's called the intensification. I'm going to look intelligent now. I'm going to end with being, you guys are going to think I'm smart. It's the intensification of the invisible phase of the angelic conflict. That's what we're talking about. You see, we think it's divorce. We think it's like that company over there and that technology over there and those evil people over there. We always see it, don't we? We always see it on the flesh and blood level, life under the sun. We always think of it that way. Oh, if it hadn't been for so-and-so doing such-and-such, this wouldn't happen and so forth. We forget there's somebody behind it all. They're like pulling the levers and trying to make it happen. There is a devil. There is a kingdom of darkness. There are fallen angels. Okay, they control this world. Please, don't be naive any longer. They are ratcheting it up. We are in a war, spiritual war, against invisible, fallen angelic creatures who are more intelligent and more powerful than we are. And we're in a war. And not only that, but in the last days, they are angrier and more torqued up than ever. And that's why we have what we have. It's because of that. Now, if I were you, if I were me, I am me, I would say to myself, wow, since that is true, what am I going to do? I mean, I am living this life after all. I am getting hit with all this stuff. They are bigger than me. They're badder than me. They're smarter than me. What am I going to do? Am I going to run away? Am I going to protest? You know, I'm going to occupy hell? What am I going to do? No, the answer is that you have been given weapons. Use them. Our weapons are powerful for the destruction of fortresses, the Bible says. You have the full and complete armor of God, the Bible says. Use it. Use the breastplate of righteousness, for goodness sakes. Use the shield of faith. Come on. Use the helmet of salvation. You know, get going. Understand you have power. Right? He who lives in you is greater than he that's in the world. Yeah, I ended on a good note. That's the deal. But you see, the thing is that you have, it's like anything else. You know, it really is a spiritual body posture. Am I going to sit here all day long and I'm going to look at all that negative stuff and I'm going to let it bombard me and turn me down and torque me up, and I'm going to let people's sin natures get to me, and they're going to, their bitterness, I'm going to just let it get to me, and my little problems over here, I'm going to let get to me, and I'm going to be all worried, I'm going to sit here and feel bad, and I'm going to have negative thoughts about God, and I'm going to do that all day? Or I'm going to turn over here and say, he who began a good work in me is going to complete it till the day of Christ Jesus. He's at work. And you know what? I'm in union with the King of Kings. And I'm going to Psalm 103 it for a while. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. He has done great things, and I will forget none of his benefits. I'm going to turn off the garbage. I'm going to stop my own thought process. Stop it! And I'm going to just go the other direction now. I'm going to spend the next half hour. I'm going to go outside. I'm going to go somewhere. I don't care what I do. I'm going to go somewhere. And I am just going to count the benefits. The physical, the family, the money, the everything, the spiritual. I'm going to say, I'm always doing this now. When I find myself in a nasty, horrible place mentally, and I do, okay, I'm you. I found myself in the, how did I get here? What do I do? The answer is simple. Get out of there and put yourself in the view of anything. You know, I always make fun of people that just pick up a random page, but you could. I mean, anything in the New Testament, my gosh, it's so amazingly feeding for our souls. It is edifying. Anyway, I just happened to randomly turn. It's so funny. I don't believe I turned there because I honestly was thinking this verse, and I turned there. This is weird. All right, never mind. It must be because I turned here a lot. I don't want to get weird on you this morning. But it's a great, great passage, right? Philippians 4:8. So how many times? You should check out Philippians 4:8. I should take you here more often. Finally, brethren, whatever is true. There's a lot of true things, too. There's a lot of lies, but there's a lot of true. Whatever is honorable. There's a lot of honorable things that we can look at. Whatever is right. The righteousness of God is right, and he's already credited you with it. And you're going to be in touch with that for all of eternity. Imagine that. How about getting to know that? You know, instead of all the negatives, instead of all the things that are wrong and how the country is this and that, how about getting to know the righteousness of God that you're going to have and be in contact with for all of eternity? Whatever things are right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence, and do this with your friends and your conversations and with one another. Put aside all the negatives. Do you realize that if we sit around figuring out and talking about all the things that are wrong with one another, that will never stop? And the worst thing of all is the talking about it, the gossip and the maligning. Well, there's always going to be that. Always. You can have that anytime you want. How about putting that aside for a little bit and instead look at these things, the things that are excellent, the things about your friends and your loved ones that are worthy of praise, and the things about your God that are worthy of praise, and dwell on these things, the things you've learned, the things you've received, the things you've heard and seen. Practice these things. That means, you know, active about it. Doesn't mean sit around until somebody comes into your life and picks you up, all right? It means you pick yourself up by being active about it. Practice these things. Go to God's Word. Think about these things. Make a practice of it. Practice these things that you may rejoice. All right, let's close in prayer. Father, thank you for the opportunity this morning. We got nowhere near where I wanted to get to, Father, but that's me. You knew where we were headed. We'll get to the counterfeiting later. But I want to thank you, Father, for having the Holy Spirit be active and among us and getting what needs to be said, getting us to focus on what you're doing in our lives. Father, we ask now, too, for the Holy Spirit in the remainder of this service and the remainder of this day to be actively pursuing our souls with the truth. We ask this in Christ's name by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. At this time, I would like to invite Dane Verhoeven. That's the dad of the other. You probably figured that out. A name like Dane Verhoeven. There's not 100 of them in the local assembly. But this is the dad of the kid who's teaching prep school and is going to be teaching the youth group tomorrow night. And always does a great job with preparing on the subject of giving in the church age. Dane?
Thank you very much, Pastor. Was that a great message this morning or what? In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 10, "Now he who supplies seed for the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness," which means that God, in his matchless grace, provides both the monetary capital for grace giving and makes it part of your Christian service. So giving is a result of your Christian service, as in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 12, "For this service which you perform is not only supplying the needs of God's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanksgiving to God." You know, so often people cry out for some blessing, but hold so tight to some earthly treasure that they have no hand left to receive God's as he holds it out in love. So trust and know God is leading you. Step with confidence with God into each unknown day. Let God's calm enwrap your mind and heart. Let it be a rest from the worry and fret of life. Please remember that our offering box is on the wall in the back, because it's always a private matter between you and God of what and when you give. Let us pray for the offering. God Almighty, we thank you for providing and loving us so much, and we ask you to multiply these gifts in the giver's lives and for you to use this offering for your will and your glory alone. In Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior's name, we pray. Amen.
Well, he did it again. Gratitude all through that message. And you know that the end of chapter 9 of 2 Corinthians, Paul says, "Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior." And something else that, you know, when you give, you know what happens when you give? You get bigger. In other words, who can give? Right? Only people that have more than enough. That's what the Bible says, by the way. Only people that have more than enough. So that when you give, all of a sudden you get in touch with the fact that, you know what? It isn't so bad. In fact, I have more than enough. I was able to do that today. Somehow or another, now God's going to come through for me, which means he's got to expand the storehouse in my life. It's not so bad, is it? See, that gratitude, the gratitude does amazing things. Be thankful. Be thankful. And there's nothing more thankful that we have to be more thankful about than the fact that God sent his son. I want to just spend the last moments of this morning's service in case there's anybody in the sound of my voice that has not yet become a believer in Jesus Christ. I know what it's like. I lived a long time in my life not being a believer in Christ. I remember what it was like. It was hopeless. It was dark. It was helpless. I kidded myself and others. I thought there would never be anything different. But then I found out that there's something totally different. And it comes one way. It comes through believing that there is a God and that God loves you so much that he was willing to give the best that he had, his son Jesus Christ, when you were his enemy, so that you would have an opportunity to live forever in a perfect place called heaven. The Bible says that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that he went to the cross. And when he was there, he died for the sins of the entire world. That includes you. And then he rose from the dead. And that is the most well-documented fact in ancient history, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And he did that in order that you would have a full opportunity to hear good news and believe it. And God the Holy Spirit, who we talked about this morning, he is on the scene. When the world was being restored, God the Holy Spirit was hovering. And he's doing the same thing now. He's hovering, looking for opportunities where somebody is ready to receive the good news of the gospel and believe it. And he helps you. He helps you. Sure, is there a part of you that's chattering right now saying, "That is just foolishness, don't listen"? Of course there is. Talked about that today. However, there's another voice. There's some new music in your life, and it's the music of the Holy Spirit singing to you the gospel of Jesus Christ, good news forever. And he says, simply believe good news. Believe that this is true, that God does love you, that he does have his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that he did die for you and rise again. And whoever believes in him will not perish, but will have eternal life. And that, by the way, starts in time. When you start to get in touch with who God is and who Jesus Christ is, your life will be changed. But this is the moment for you. You don't know what tomorrow will bring, my friend. You don't know what's going to happen. None of us do. Why would you put off the most amazing decision of your life any longer? God says to you, "Look, I've taken all your sins and placed them on my son, and I want to give you instead perfect righteousness, so that you don't have to be feeling guilty about the things you've done wrong anymore. You just have to realize that I will declare you perfectly righteous the moment you believe this good news about my son." That's God's offer. It's the most amazing offer in history. Believe on the Lord Jesus and you will be saved.